Okay, we're going to go ahead and get started this morning, folks. And we're going to open with prayer as usual. So let's start to pray. Lord, we thank you for this day. We thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you for your love, Lord God. We thank you for the love we have for each other, Lord God, because it is because of you that we can love each other. Lord, it's because of you that we are family, Lord God, and we love the family of God, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that we can call each other sisters and brothers, Lord God. Oh, Father, we just thank you for all that you've done, Lord God. You have truly brought peace on earth as only peace could be brought, Lord God, because with you came love, with you came forgiveness. With you came, Lord God, we our ability to release, Lord. We don't have to seek vengeance. We don't have to hold on to resentments, Lord God. But because of you, we are set free.
Hallelujah.
And we thank you for it, Lord God. So we pray, Lord God, Holy Spirit, come. Let your Holy Spirit move, Lord. We thank you for this day of Pentecost where we celebrate when the Holy Spirit came and filled us and baptized us, Lord God. And we pray, Lord, for that same Holy Spirit, oh Lord, to come and be with us, the protector, the strengthener, the counselor, the advocate, the intercessor. Oh, come, Holy Spirit, come. Teach us. Counsel us today, and we thank you, and we praise you, and we expect it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
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 Amen. Oh, so we continue on. We're still on our lesson. We're still finishing up session one, the legacy of prayer. In session one of Battle Plan for Prayer book, and again, our key scripture, and this scripture has just been just on my mind. It's almost like it's been haunting me all week, this scripture. Oh, you who hear prayer, to you all men come. You know, there's no place else to go. To you all men come. You who hear prayer, to you all men come. And it just, you know, I just keep thinking about that scripture, that we can come to him. And I thank him, and I'm so grateful. I'm learning how to be so grateful that he hears us, because he doesn't have to. God doesn't have to do anything for us, but he does it. And I appreciate that. So I'd say to you who hear prayer, to you all men come. I can come. So last week we were talking about prayer. We started our lesson. We were talking about, the whole lesson is about why pray. Why should we even pray in the first place? Why do we even do it? God knows everything, so why are we praying anyways? And we talked about the different reasons why we prayed, and we talked about the different people that prayed. We talked about how Abraham prayed, and because Abraham had this prayer life going on with God, he was able to birth in the nation that birthed into Christ, that birthed Christ and changed the world, because a man was praying. One man was praying, this happened, and he was so obedient to God. Prayer brings obedience to our life. You know, when you can't, you know, I don't know if you, how you were before you came to Christ, or even after you just came to Christ. I had problems obeying God, okay? maybe it was easy for you all, but I had problems obeying. You know, even when I saw it in the scripture, it was hard to obey God. It was hard to forgive some people, you know, so, but because when you pray, Abraham was able to be obedient. We talked about Isaac and how Isaac had great faith, and he had faith to believe God for the son that was promised, that was coming. Even after so much had happened, he believed God and had faith when his wife, Rebecca, was barren. You know, he believed God that she would bear a son. And then we talked about Moses, and Moses had courage. You know, this is a person that had run from the law of the day. You know, he was running from Pharaoh, but because he had a prayer life, because he prayed, he got courage. I know sometimes God will ask you to do things that will make you so afraid. You know, but when you have a prayer life, it ignites courage in you, and you're willing to go. You know, you're going to be like Esther that said, "If I perish, I perish. I'm going to see the king." You know, there was a time I'm like, no, I'm not going to go see the king. My goodness, the king could just do whatever. Sometimes you're afraid to do things. But when you have a prayer life, it ignites courage in your life. You know, so, you know, when you're thinking about, I know God has called many of us to do, just about everyone to do something. But sometimes you're hesitant, or sometimes you haven't done it yet because you're afraid of this and you're afraid of what can happen. But when you have a prayer life going, it ignites courage in your life. And you get, like, as I said, like Esther, who said, if I perish, I perish. I'm going to see the king. Moses had such the courage to go back and face Pharaoh and even had the audacity to ask Pharaoh to let God's people go. David, then we talked about David, and we talked about how prayer ignites intimacy. You know, when you have a good prayer life, you gain intimacy with God. And I think this is the most precious thing, when you have an intimacy with God. And you know when people have an intimacy with God. You can see it on them. There's something about people that have an intimate relationship. And David, oh boy, when you read some of his Psalms, I mean, you can see this is a man who had a relationship with God. You know, he said, even when he messed up and sinned with Bathsheba, he said in Psalm 51, whatever you do, don't take your Holy Spirit from me. You know, do whatever you want to do, but please don't take your Holy Spirit, because he was so in love with God that he did not want that intimacy to be taken away. So we can see that through all of this, prayer changes us. It makes us different. And then we moved into Jesus in prayer, because Jesus was the best example we ever had of someone who prayed. And so we were right in the middle of talking about Jesus in prayer and how Jesus, again, was teaching in Matthew 5. We were going through Matthew 5, 6, and 7, and we were talking about in Matthew 5 how we got back to the relationship piece, not relationship with each other. You know, and how Jesus was teaching them that if you have a situation going on with your friends or with your brother, your sister, go get it straight. God doesn't even want your offering. I mean, we're not even asking about you going to request something from God. God says, I don't even want to take what you're offering me until you go and get that thing right. You know, and that's really powerful. And that, again, that tells us how important it is to God that we love each other, that we have that unity of the spirit and the bond of peace, that we can forgive, we can let resentments go and all of that stuff go. That is so important to God, because he says, I don't even want to have what you're offering. I don't care how beautiful your voice is. I don't care how much stuff you have, how rich you are, how big your bank account is. I don't care how talented you are, how well you teach, how well you preach. God says, I don't even want it until you get it right. Amen. Oh boy, that's powerful. And that's what Jesus was teaching when he was talking about prayer and relationships. He was talking about, he said, before you even approach him, you need to get it right. You know, let all that stuff go. And then we were getting into Matthew 6. We were talking about giving in prayer, how God, you know, will reject your gift if you don't know how to give it. You give it with humility. We talked about the parable of the Pharisee and the tax collector. And which one did God, whose gift did God receive? You know, the Pharisee came in all this arrogance and all of this, you know, this pride before God and saying, I'm not like other men. And then the poor tax collector knew he had messed up, knew he had sinned. You know, the tax collectors were hated because they cheated the people. They were collecting taxes for the Romans, so they were kind of the hated group. They were Jews, but they were hated because of this reason. But the tax collector came with humility. He says, I know I'm a terrible person, but God, I'm coming. I'm confessing it before you. And he said, which of these people left that God received them? And it was the tax collector. And it's talking about when you're giving to God, you give with humility. You don't give with a haughtiness. You got to know how to give, and prayer brings that. You know, when you're praying, that praying and giving piece goes hand in hand. You know, whatever you're bringing, your tithes, your offering, when you're bringing that to God, you come with humility. Like, God, you know, this isn't much. You know, but here I bring it, Lord. I know I'm not perfect, but I'm bringing this, Lord. This is what I can do, Father. You know, so again, having that attitude when you're giving to the Lord, and prayer gives you a spirit of humility. When you start really engaging with God, you get humble, because the more you engage with God, the more you see where you stand in light of him, because you get to know him and you get to know how great he is. And you know, they say, you know, the fact that he loves us is just, it confuses us. Why would you even bother with us? You know, they said the angels look at it. They say it's a mystery. Why does he love humanity? You know, but the more you get to know God, the more humility comes upon you, like Jesus. And then we were getting into the Lord's Prayer, and that's where we left off, is where we were going to really break down the Lord's Prayer and how to pray to the Father. And in your lesson where it says the Lord's Prayer, I'm not sure what page that is, Rita, do you know what page that is, the Lord's Prayer? It's, yeah. Oh, I didn't number it. Okay, it's where it says the Lord's Prayer. And you're right. I forgot to number your pages. So where it says the Lord's Prayer, how to pray to the Father, look for that, okay? Ah. Yeah. Okay. And it says, from praise to forgiveness, the Lord's Prayer taught by Christ holds all the components of effective prayer. So let's just break this down because it holds everything. And then and this, the Lord's Prayer is in Matthew 6. And it says, pray then this way. And this is Jesus talking. Pray then this way. Our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be our name. So we stop right there and we talk about, what is this? This is praise. So you start with praise. Wow. And I was like, oh, wow, that just kind of blew me away. Praise is automatic when coming into the presence of the Almighty. You praise him. I don't care what's going on in your day. He is always worthy of praise. The fact that you have breath in your body and you're standing there, you have a reason to praise God, okay? Praise should flow from you just because of who God is. Praise draws you near to the presence of God. As I said, I don't know. I don't care how you feel. I don't care what's going on. If you start praising him, it'll draw you closer into the presence of God. I have praised God. I've learned to praise him. Tears rolling down my eyes from the hurt and the pain. And I said, Lord, I praise you. I praise you. And it draws you into the presence of God. God inhabits the praises of his people. It says he is enthroned, and it says he is enthroned in the holy place where praise is offered. And this is in Psalms 22:3. That's a key scripture to write down. Psalm 22:3, and it talks about how God is drawn. He's enthroned in the praise. So you start with praise, and as Jesus said, our Father who is in heaven, hallowed, sacred, holy is your name. You know, starting with that, before we even talk about anything else, Lord, we just want to acknowledge that we praise you and we honor you. And then we go into the next part, verse 10, where it says, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Wow. Submission, folks. Submission. You know, we don't march into prayer being ready to command God. But we go in with submission. You go in with humility. Humility should be the attitude as you come. We come boldly, because the Bible says you can come boldly, but we come boldly because of the blood of Christ. That's the only reason why you can come boldly, is because of the blood of Christ that has cleansed us. But we come with humility as well. We come to get his orders and not to order him. Folks, let me say that again. You come to get his orders and not to order him. Yes. Okay? We come to request from him and not demand of him. Yes. We got to get that. We can't just demand and request. You know, you come with humility. You get his orders. You make your requests, but you don't make demands of God. You know, we gotta get that right and understand that. That we come before him with humility, with submission. And that's why it says, your kingdom come, your will be done. And I know that's a hard one sometimes, because we want our will. We want what we want. You know, and God, oh, he does what he wills, but he's a God of love. That's what you can trust. He's a God of love, and he does what he wills. He takes what he wants, and he gives what he wants. Yes. You know, I'm telling you, nothing on this planet belongs to you. Do you understand? Yes. Nothing. It is all his. Every person on the planet is his. Okay, you don't own anything. Okay, so you got to come before him in that way. Your kingdom come and your will be done. And because he's good, I'm not afraid to say your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Of course, in heaven, everything is done that is the will of God. On earth, boy, we got to work at it, because the prince and the power of the air, because it's a fallen planet. This is what we have to pray, is that his will is done on earth as it is in heaven. And then after those two pieces, praise and submission, then we're ready to request something. Give us this day our daily bread. So then we get into the requesting piece. Then you're ready to make your request. And the Father wants you to come to him for requests. I want you to know that God wants you to come to him to make your requests. He wants to be your source of everything every day. Let me say that again. He wants to be your source of everything every day. Okay, that's why he wants you to come to him for the day. Lord, give us this day. I'm not thinking about, we'll deal with tomorrow. You know, but give us this day our daily bread. And isn't it something he didn't say, give us this week? Our weekly bread, or give us this year, our yearly bread. He said, give us this day, because he wants you coming back tomorrow and tomorrow and tomorrow. So he just did one day at a time. He said, just worry about today, because this is all you all can deal with anyway. If I showed you all next week, you all would, it would just blow your mind. So let's just deal with today. I love God because he knows us. I'm not going to even show you next week. Let's just deal with today, what you have to deal with today. So he says, give us this day our daily bread. So he wants to be your everything every day. So everything. I don't care how minor and minute you might think it is. Amen. He cares and he wants you to discuss it with him. Don't Amen. Think you can't discuss things with God. You can discuss everything with God. Your toe hurts. Lord, my toe hurts. I'm trying. I got to work all day. I got to be on my feet. But Lord, my toe hurts. Please help me with my... You know, you can talk about all of these things with God. He wants to be your everything. About everything. So talk to him about it. Those little feelings you have. Lord, I'm trying, but you know, she gets on my nerves. Okay, but I'm trying, Jesus. I want you to know I'm trying. You know? And boy, you'd be amazed at the things that God will let come into your heart about that. A scripture will come to you. Somebody will say something to you. And it deals with that very issue you talk to him about. You may not have even said it out loud, but he knows. Because you just maybe just said it to him in your heart, and he'll come and he'll say something to you. And I tell you, that creates such an intimacy. No, but when you start sharing those little things in your life with God, it creates such an intimacy, you know, and you'll see, oh man, he is that friend that sticks closer to a brother. There are things that you don't tell anyone about. You have not told anybody, but you can tell him. And he'll deal with it, and he'll talk to you about it, and he doesn't come to pound you down. He comes to comfort you and to assure you and to teach you and to let you tell you everything's going to be all right. Everything's going to be all right. And you say, Lord, but I just didn't do it perfect. Lord, I don't know if I made the right decision. He says, I got it. I got it because you brought it to me. I got it now. I have it now. So again, you can make those requests daily. And then we go into the next section. It says, and forgive us our debts as we have forgiven our debtors, letting go of both the wrong and the resentment. Oh boy, there's that relationship piece again. Here it's popping up again, the relationship piece. Repentance, forgiveness, and relationships. So again, we see this relationship issue. This brings peace on earth and goodwill toward men. This is the reason why Jesus came, so we can forgive. See, before, when you knew Jesus, you couldn't forgive. It was hard to forgive because you were like concerned, like, well, if I forgive, they're going to do it again. If I forgive, then they might do this, or they might not get the point that what they did was wrong. You know, we think about all these things. You know, we just perseverate. And for some reason, we're just mad. That's why we won't forgive. I just don't want to. You know, I just want to hold it over their heads, you know. But when Jesus came, I could let it go. Yeah. Unforgiveness is work, folks. Mm-hmm. Unforgiveness is mental work. It's stress. Mm-hmm. It's stressful. To be unforgiving is stressful. Trust me. You know, and there are some researchers that have said that unforgiveness can lead to chemical secretions in your body that can lead to cancer and all kind of things. You know, high blood pressure, heart disease. I mean, all this stuff can come because we don't forgive. We're just that bitterness and that anger. It is bad for the body. But because of Jesus, I can just let it go. You know, I'm going to forgive you. I'm not going to worry about what you might do to me. I'm going to let it go. No, I'm not going to do that to you. I'm not going to get you back. Even though I have the opportunity to get you back, I'm not going to do it. Because I believe him that there can be peace on earth. I can have peace with you. You know, so we can let things go, you know, knowing that God has it. Jesus has it. Verse 13, do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil. There we're praying for protection. The protection is in here. God wants us to ask for his covering and not depend on our knowledge or the knowledge and skills of others to protect us. You know, you put things in place, but folks, I'm telling you, with everything people have in place, people still can live unprotected. People will still die. Companies will still tumble and go into bankruptcy. You know, so many things can happen. Even with all our protectors in place, things can happen. So we want to go to God, you know, for our protection. This is why we pray about everything before we proceed, is for God's protection. Lord, before I go into this, Lord, and I always tell God, God, you know what? You know, I may not be hearing you clearly, but if this is not your will, you mess it up. If it is not your will, Lord, you have my permission to sweep the house clean. Yep. You know, if this person is not supposed to be here, Lord, take them out.
Amen.
We'll deal with whatever, but Lord, you have the rule here. You know, and I tell them, we want your protection. We want to be under your umbrella. And so the prayer is, do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil, Lord. And sometimes, you know, when I think about this, I think about people that can come into your life and can tempt you to sin and can tempt you to do all of these things, you know. And sometimes, you know, you may like that person, but they're not good for you to be in your life. And that's when it says, deliver us from evil, Lord. And sometimes God will move that person right out of your life for one reason or another. I've seen that happen over and over and over. God just moved them out. You know, something happened. They got another offer somewhere else, or something happened, and they were moved out of your life for one reason or another. And that's because you pray, Lord, protect us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. That our lives and our families' lives are protected. And then finally, we end again with praise. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Oh, amen. Ending in prayers is automatic as we believe and expect the movement of the Father as we exalt God above all other forces on earth. So even as we pray all of these different aspects of prayer, we believe him and we praise him at the end. I expect your movement, Lord. I expect you to move in the name of Jesus. And I believe that your movement and your power is greater than any other power on earth. So you says, for yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Forever. There's no end to it. It'll continue and continue. So again, that's our breakdown of the Lord's Prayer, and that's from Matthew 6, verses 9 through 13. And then we go on, and this again with Jesus, just talking about Jesus and how he prayed, and we move on talking about how Jesus taught us how to watch and pray. Another aspect of prayer is that we watch and pray. Your lesson says Jesus taught us to watch and pray. Keep actively watching and praying so that you do not come into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the body is weak. Mark 14:38. Okay, you know, so let's talk about the spirit and the body when it comes to prayer. Jesus said to watch and pray. The body, and he brought into the issues with our body, this flesh. The body always wants to feel good. Can I say that again? The body always wants to feel good. It does not like pain, okay? Doesn't like it. Will avoid it. Recoils. You know, even if you're asleep, if something starts poking you, that body will automatically recoil because the body does not like pain. It does not want to travail in the spirit. You know, it doesn't want to go through anything. It doesn't want to. It doesn't want to pray often. The flesh doesn't want to pray. It doesn't want to travail. You know, in the spirit, when you're really praying through something and you're really before God, the body may not want to do it. It doesn't want to fight wickedness. It would rather hide and avoid it. Let's, you know, we don't have to pray about it. Let's just leave it alone and we'll just go on over here instead of calling it out in the name of Jesus and dealing with it. What if they don't like me? The body doesn't like not to be liked, okay? The body doesn't like not to be glorified. And, you know, the body doesn't like a lot of different things. The body wants to relax and wants to be carefree. But I find that you can rest after you pray. When you pray through, then you can rest. You know, because we know we live in this body and we do have to rest it sometimes, you know, but the spirit has to be in control, folks. The spirit has to tell this body. The apostle said, I buffet my body and I make it my slave. You know, and he said, because after I have preached while I have preached to others, I myself would be cast away because of the body. After I've preached these great sermons and taught all this stuff, I could still fall because of the body. You know, so he said, I have to buffet it. I have to make it my slave. You know, and as I heard one person say, it's buffet, not buffet. So not taking it to the buffet. He said, the Bible said you can buffet your body. No, that buffet in the King James. So we want to be sure that, again, we watch and we pray. We watch this body. Watch this flesh, because it'll mess you up. You're trying to pray. You're trying to pray for you, but this doesn't want to pray. This doesn't want to get up early. Uh-uh. No, I want to sleep some more. You know, I heard one person was saying that was talking about they were trying to get up early, and they were trying to get up early to pray, and they kept falling asleep. They decided they were going to stand on the edge of the tub and pray. And they were just standing there on the edge of the tub. I don't recommend this. Okay. Because he said once he fell a time or two, man, he never felt so, he was awake, you know. So, again, but that was his way of buffeting his body and making it obey. You know, get up, you know. And if you need to, you know, press in to prayer, that means you get up. And, you know, I'm just walking, you know. I can't kneel right now because I know I'll go back to sleep. So I'm just going to walk. Just walk and pray. I'm just walking. Lord, I'm just up. Thank you for the day, Lord. Thank you for your goodness and your mercy as the body is getting with the program. You know, because the more you get up and you walk, you know, my body's getting with the program. Okay, I guess we're up. We're going to pray. So, and then we go into pray. We go into prayer. So Jesus taught us to watch. Watch this body as you pray. Next point in your lesson says, watch or observe spiritually what is going on around you as you pray. In these observations, you will see what to pray for, as well as seeing God answering prayers. When you watch, you know, sometimes we pray and we just go on about our day. Expect it. Expect change in people. I'm praying for that person, so I'm expecting them to change. Because, you know, I know that the word says it's not his will that any should perish. All should come to repentance. So as I'm praying for them to their come to salvation, I'm looking for changes. I'm looking for it. So be watchful and spiritually observant as far as what is going on as you're praying. And then you'll also see what to pray for. You'll see what to pray for before most people, because you're in tune with the Spirit of God. And the Holy Spirit will say, pray. While everybody else is talking,
yes,
and everybody else is gossiping about stuff, you, Spirit is saying, pray. Pray about that situation. You know, nobody is rejected, but they did this and they did that. And oh boy, oh, they're so terrible. Pray. Who's praying for them? Who's lifting them up? See, when you're spiritually in tune and you're watching, you can say to your, you know, the Holy Spirit will say, pray, you pray. Nobody's praying for them because they're all angry with him. They're all mad at her. So nobody's praying for her. I want you to be the one to pray. So when you're watching, that's what Jesus was so keen. He just, you know, the scripture says that he got up, his custom was to get up early in the morning and pray. And I believe he prayed for the people. He prayed, you know, before he went into the day. So pray. You will see, your lesson says, you will see the Holy Spirit changing a heart you are praying for day by day until the complete work is done. The watching will encourage your praying. Expect him to move when you pray in his name according to his will. Oh boy, as you see things contrary to life, as I have said so many times, don't just watch the news. Don't just read a news report. Pray on that. Put some prayer on that situation. You know, pray about the shootings going on in the nation. Pray for our schools. Pray, you know, for our government.
Yes.
You know, we don't just shake our heads and stop praying. We got to press in and pray more. Jesus taught you to watch so that you can pray for what you see. The body is weak and it wants not only to sleep, but to gossip, give opinions, but rarely, if ever, does the flesh want to pray. So you pray. You know, you pray. You've got to be the prayer warriors. You're the believers. You're the believers. The world is not going to pray. It's up to you to pray. The next part of your lesson says, Jesus taught us to pray instead of giving up. And this is a hard one, folks, because when you see the condition of the world, it's so easy. I'm just tired. I'm just tired of praying. You see certain people, you've been praying for them for years. Okay, you know what? I'm just done.
Yeah.
It's easy to feel that way. You know, that's human to feel that way. I'm just done. You know, I'm praying and praying, and like they're getting worse. Yeah, they're getting worse because those demons are really getting upset because you're praying. So, you know, you might pray for somebody and they may get worse, but you keep praying because those demons got to go. The scripture says, now Jesus was telling the disciples a parable to make the point that at all times they ought to pray and not give up and lose heart. And that's Luke 18:1. You know, don't give up. He taught us this because he knew we would feel this way. He knows how some of you are feeling. You're tired. You know, you've been praying and praying and you're looking for something and you just give up. Don't give up, folks. Keep praying. Prayer, your next point on your list says, prayer builds your faith and trust in God's timing. Oh, that's a hard one. God's timing. Oh, no, not my timing, but God's timing. God hears all prayers and he answers when he chooses. And you've got to trust that. But it's been years. Trust it. He heard you the first time you prayed. But keep praying. Keep praying. Keep laying your hand on that child's door. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Keep on doing it. He hears you. Keep calling their name up before the Father. Trust his timing. His timing is always perfect for you and the ones you're praying for. You know, sometimes they have to experience some things before they come. You know, sometimes what they're experiencing is going to be their testimony someday. You know, so trust God's timing. Trust when he's working. You know, I don't care what they're doing. Because sometimes you're like, oh, no, it's all over now. No, it's not. No, it's not. If you know, you guys have heard some of the testimonies from Satan worshipers all the way to murderers. Murderers, they may be in prison, but they got a testimony to tell you what Jesus did for them. So again, you don't give up. He wants you to persist in your praying, for with it will come the movement of his hand. Hallelujah. Prayer involves you in his work, and you must submit to his timing, his purpose, and his way of doing things. It's hard to wait, but the word teaches us to wait. Hebrews, if you have your Bible, I'm going to read from Hebrews 10. Verse 35 through 38, and this is a New Living Translation, and it reads this way. It says, so do not throw away this confidence. Trust in the Lord. Remember the great reward it brings you. Patience, endurance is what you need now so that you will continue to do God's will. Then you will receive all that he has promised. For just in just a little while, the coming one will come and will not delay. Now, that scripture always bothered me. What do you mean by a little while, Jesus? Because, you know, because a little while to us is different than a little while to God. Remember, he's eternal, you know. He is eternal. He tells people things that happen until 20 years later. You know, you're like, okay, in a little while, okay. But remember,
isn't it a day with him?
A thousand years. A thousand years is as a day. I was thinking about that scripture. Thank you, Rita. So again, he said he will come and not delay. So meaning he won't be late. When it's time, he won't be late and will not delay. Verse 38 says, and my righteous ones will live by faith. Oh, my goodness. The King James says the just shall, not may or perhaps. These are definite. My righteous ones will live by faith. But I will take no pleasure in anyone who turns away, the scripture says. Verse 39 says, but we are not like those who turn away from God to their own destruction, but we are the faithful ones whose souls will be saved. Amen. Amen. So that's what the word says. That's what the scripture says, folks. We wait and we wait and we trust God and we trust God. And he who is coming will come and he will not delay. He will be right on time when that time comes. The next point in your lesson says Jesus defended his father's house as a house of prayer. Another aspect of Jesus in prayer is his father's house was an issue when it came to prayer. A sacred place, his house, Jesus defended his house, his father's house as a house of prayer, a sacred place for the cultivation of pure relationship between God and man. The place of prayer should be kept holy before God. Jesus said to them, it is written in scripture, my house shall be called a house of prayer, but you have made it a robber's den. And that's Matthew 21, 13. So let's talk about the house of God in prayer. We should never bring our sinful deeds into the place of prayer. You know, what was going on? You understand what was going on is that they were cheating people as the people were trying to buy sacrifices of doves and different things. They were cheating them in the temple, you know, as they were selling this to them. And that was the issue that was going on, you know, and they were trying to, and I'm getting ahead of the lesson. Let me just read the lesson. Whether it be the physical house of God or our personal prayer closet, our lies and deceits have no place in prayer. Don't think you can come to prayer and lie and deceive. You know, and you may not think people would do that, but people do that. You know, they come up before God and, you know, pretending to be something that they're not, you know, pretending to be away, you know, they no repentance, you know, nothing. Just thinking they can just bring their prayers to God and they know all this stuff is going on, you know, with them. So our prayer closet, lies and deceits have no place in prayer. As we've already talked about, God won't even receive it, won't even hear it. The money changers in the temple of God were cheating the people as they sold them doves and other items for their sacrifices to God. They may have felt they were doing God a service by offering the convenience of selling animals for sacrifice in the temple. You know, and that's the mindset human beings get. I'm doing God a favor, you know, so he's going to wink at my sin, you know, and you may think, some of you may think, who would do that? A lot of people, you know, I'm glad you don't think that because that you have a pure heart. But there are people that work in the body, in the church, you know, that feel because I give God this service, God will wink at my sin. And folks, it's not true. I'm telling you, if you're caught up in that, I'm telling you, you will give an account. Jesus dealt with that. You know, it's so plain in the word of God that he'll deal with sin wherever it is. And he was always getting on the religious leaders. I was thinking about who did Jesus get mad at? You know, yeah, the Pharisees. He always got on the Pharisees and the religious leaders. He was always, you Pharisees, you Sadducees, you know, you snakes, you vipers, brood. I mean, Jesus was like irate with them. You know, these were the religious people. But he didn't tolerate that. You know, and I kept thinking, Lord, you know, it seemed like the only time you got mad was at the religious leader. Why did Jesus get so mad at them? Because they colored the way people saw the Father. You know, Jesus did not like anyone messing with his Father. You know, he would take all this stuff, but when you talked about his Father, man, he got upset. And that was the issue with them. So when you're representing God and you got all this stuff going on and people can see that you've got this sin thing going on here, but yet you're trying to teach and preach here, oh, that makes him angry. Because now they can't see the purity of the Father because you are coloring what they're seeing. So you got to get this. We got to get this when it comes to prayer, when it comes to the house of God. We've got to always make sure, Lord, not that we're perfect. You know, God is not asking for us to be perfect because he knows we got work that needs to be done on us. He's asking for a pure heart toward him.
just like the Pharisee when he was praying.
I'm
not the same man as everybody else.
Yeah.
The tax collector couldn't even look up to heaven because he actually confessed that he was a sinner.
Yes. I love that she said this because she came in a little later and she didn't know that we went over that scripture earlier in the class. But that's God saying it again.
Yeah.
That's the Lord saying it again. You know, Rose and I, we didn't rehearse this, did we, Rose?
No.
We didn't rehearse this. But that, yes, that is God saying it again, folks. Someone that didn't even hear what we said at the beginning is saying it again.
Wow.
The same very scripture. Yeah. Like, don't bring your gifts to me until you get stuff right.
Mm.
Don't come with all that junk into my house and think it's okay because you feel you're all that, you know, and I need you. Oh, please don't get in that attitude, because I've seen people, they feel God needs them.
Mm.
Oh, God doesn't need you, I'm telling you. Oh, I don't even know how we get there, but sometimes we can get so lifted up in pride when we have gifts and we have talents. We can get so lifted up in pride that we think God needs us. And when we feel that way, we feel we can sin on the side. And God will just wink at it because he needs us to preach and to teach and to sing and to, you fill in the blank, all the other things. But folks, let's always keep in mind that, you know, we come into his house and we make sure that we are pure before him. As I said, it's not perfection, it's a pure heart toward him. The tax collector had a pure heart toward God. Even though he had all these issues, he brought them before God. He didn't just, I'm going to pray anyways.
Mm.
You know, so again, folks, we want to make sure that we have the right attitude. You cannot bring, your lesson says you cannot bring wickedness into the house of prayer, even when you're giving a service, and expect God to respond in blessings or silence.
Yes.
Jesus was not silent.
No.
Oh, boy. That was, in scripture, that was the time he was most disruptive. When he did this, just knocked over tables and, you know, and just really just was very angry with them. So again, that is a lesson that we have to really take to heart when we come into God's house, that we'll stand for stuff. We'll be judged for stuff. You know, there is a judgment everybody stands before. I believe it's the great white throne judgment that believers stand. And you'll be judged for what you did, you know. So don't think, you know, you're getting away with anything. So we want to be careful. 1 John 1:9 says, not in your lesson, but 1 John 1:9 says, if we freely admit that we have sinned and confess our sins, he is faithful and just, true to his own nature and promises, and will forgive our sins and cleanse us continually, says the Amplified, from all unrighteousness, our wrongdoing, everything not in conformity with him, with his will and his purpose. Our wrongdoing continually cleanse us. We need that continual cleansing as we live on planet Earth and as we're growing up in God. We need the continual cleansing. And remember, boy, if you claim to know Jesus Christ and you got some sin going on the side, boy, you're coloring Jesus. You're coloring him for the people that are looking on, for your family members, your children. Oh, my goodness. Please do not ignore that the children are watching. You know, you don't get away with stuff. They're watching what mom does, what dad does, what grandma does, what they're watching. You talk about Jesus and they're watching your life. Oh, so you got to be so careful. You're planting those seeds and Jesus is looking on. The people were coming to the temple for cleansing to talk to God honestly, but sin was in the temple and Jesus dealt with it directly. Folks, Jesus will deal with it directly. So you want to watch that. And then we go to our next section, and we're still talking about Jesus in prayer. In John 17, Jesus grafted us into the family of God by his prayer in John 17. Jesus prayed the most powerful, high, priestly prayer of all time. His prayer to his Father at that critical time in history was all about us. Boy, if you read John 17, I love it. It's all about us. He's praying for us. As the Father heard the prayer of his Son on that blessed day, the response of the Father changed everything for humankind and continues to reverberate around the world until this day. Hallelujah. Because Jesus prayed. I'm telling you. I mean, he was going to the cross, but this prayer, folks, this prayer, you know, before he went to the cross, he was praying, this is why I'm going, Father. This is why. Graft them in. Love them like you love me. I mean, let them be in me as I am in you. I mean, all of this stuff. He was praying as he was making his sacrifice. I'm making my sacrifice, but Lord, God, this is why. This is why I came. So this prayer was a prayer that grafted us in. Humanity can be grafted into the family of God because of the events following this most powerful prayer. So read it again and again. Oh, it's just one of those beautiful prayers that, you know, just brings you to tears when you read what he prayed for us, for me. You know, make it personal. What he prayed for Karen, he prayed this for me. I wasn't even here yet, but I know I was in his mind. Down the road, he saw Karen was coming, and I'm praying this. Let her be in us as I am in you, Father. Through his betrayal, the next point is through his betrayal, his beatings, and crucifixion, Jesus taught us how to hold to the Father through our suffering and not be drawn into the darkness of it. Oh, let's talk about this point on prayer. How you can be drawn into the darkness of suffering instead of praying through it. You know, things happen. Folks, things are going to continue to happen on this world that are distasteful, that are painful, that are downright tragic. But are you going to be drawn into the darkness of the suffering, or do you pray through the suffering? So let's talk about Jesus and his suffering. As the time of his betrayal drew near, Jesus prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane so deeply and desperately that his sweat literally became drops of blood. He pressed into his Father during the most traumatic time in his life. He pressed into the Father during the most traumatic time of his life on earth. He was praying. The suffering is going to happen, but he pressed into the Father. I mean, he was going to die. This wasn't even about, even though he was praying, Father, if it be your will, let this cup pass from me. But the cup wasn't going to pass from him. And he knew that. But he kept praying anyways. Oh, wow. Are you guys getting this? It's going to happen anyway. It's going to happen. You're going to lose the house. You're going to lose the car. That person's going to die. But do you keep praying anyways? This is what we're talking about here. Jesus was going to kept praying anyway. The suffering was going to happen, but he pressed into his Father in prayer to endure what was coming. To endure it. Prayer does not always rescue us, but will always strengthen us. Let me say that again. Prayer will not always rescue us, but it will always strengthen us, folks. Some people walk away from God during the time they need him most, during suffering. This is a tactic of the enemy. The enemy will whisper rejection of God in your ear when you need God most. The enemy is in your ear whispering reasons why you should reject him. So many are lost through suffering. So many turn their back during suffering, when they should be pressing into God. And again, this is a tactic of Satan. He comes, he watches, he sees you're hurting, and he will come and he will whisper all kind of things in your ear so that you would reject God. But note how Christ pressed into prayer during his torment. During his torment. If you have your Bible, Luke 22. Luke 22, verses 43 and 44, and it says, "Then an angel from heaven appeared to him and strengthened him. And in his anguish, he prayed." I love, hallelujah. That's one just to put on the wall, those words. "And in his anguish, he prayed more earnestly. And his sweat became like drops of blood falling to the ground." In his anguish, he prayed more. Hallelujah. Folks, I see that's a lesson. Oh, sometimes, you know, and I know sometimes there have been such tragedies and such hurt. I mean, I remember feeling so much. I had no words. Sometimes the pain is so bad, there are no words. And you can just lay on the floor and just, And sometimes your mind is, only thing that's praying is your spirit. Your spirit is just praying, and you just can groan. You know, and all you can do is just groan, just lay there and just groan. But you're praying and you're pressing in. Lord, I'm holding, I'm holding, I'm holding, I'm holding, I'm hurting. My heart is in shreds, but I'm holding, Lord. I'm holding. And he will come and he will strengthen you. He will strengthen you. And then we move on to the actual crucifixion itself. The next point says, even while suffering in agony on the cross, he prayed out loud 3 times between his final breaths. And this is from the Battle Plan of Prayer, makes this comment. Jesus' eyes remain on his Father even as he bore the sins of the world. He remained in a prayerful attitude. And the scripture says, Matthew 27 and 48 says, about the ninth hour, Jesus cried out in a loud voice, Eli, Eli, lema sabachthani, which means, my God, why have you forsaken me? Okay, this is even a level beyond, folks, because at this point, the Father, oh boy, and I don't want to get ahead on the lesson, but the Father, he's like, why have you even? I'm praying, I'm talking to you, and you, Lord, I'm looking up, and you are not looking at me. But you know what? He kept praying. He kept praying. I mean, he actually knew the Father had, you know, we're going to get on what was going on there, but he actually knew that was happening. Sometimes we pray and we feel like God is not hearing us. I heard the prophet was talking about the heavens are like brass, like I can't even penetrate into heaven. And that's just something that we think in our mind, but Jesus actually knew. But he kept praying. Oh, guys. Oh, my goodness. This is so powerful. Some theologians believe that at this moment, that this was a moment at which God the Father looked away as he could not look upon the sin that his Son was bearing for the world. Hallelujah. But even through this, Jesus kept praying to his Father. Oh, my goodness. Totally and completely. Oh my goodness, the Father's looking away.
Yes.
Wow. 1 Corinthians 5:21 says, he made him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. And then the comment is, it is possible that at some moment on the cross, when Jesus became sin on our behalf, that God the Father, in a sense, turned his back upon the Son. It says in Habakkuk 1:13 that God is too pure to look upon evil. Therefore, it is possible that when Jesus bore our sins in his body on the cross, it's in 1 Peter 2:24, that the Father spiritually turned away at that time. The Son may have cried out, oh, my God, why have you forsaken me? That's from Christian Apologetics Research Ministry. So, you know, it just all falls into place. The Father could not look upon sin that the Son was bearing at that moment on the cross. So God forgive us how quickly and easily we turn from prayer in trial and in trouble. Because when we look at Jesus and his prayer life and how it endured, and he kept praying, he kept praying, he kept praying. How do you know he kept praying? Because his last words was, Father, into your hand. It is finished. Into your hands. He wasn't talking to me. He was talking to his Father. I commend my spirit. He kept praying. Kept believing the Father. Oh, my goodness. So, folks, I'm telling you, when you're ready to turn away in trial, I want you to remember this. Jesus kept praying through it all. No matter what he lost, no matter what had happened, everyone left him, rejected him. Here he is on the cross, stripped down, humiliated, beaten, and he keeps praying. And then the Father turns and he keeps praying.
Yes.
Remember this. Remember this. Jesus prayed through it all. He always remained in communication with his Father. Then after ascending into heaven, he sent his Spirit to fill believers and specifically called us to more effective prayer. He did it all so that we could pray. And then, boy, it's amazing this is falling on the day of Pentecost, but here we go. The lesson says the Holy Spirit came on the day of Pentecost in the middle of a prayer meeting. The Church of Jesus Christ was born out of prayer as over 3,000 souls came to him in one day after prayer. After prayer. We want to see our church filled, but we got to be praying. All of us, we got to be praying. We got to be praying corporately. You know, keep writing those names on the board. Keep, you know, praying, folks. It happens in prayer. The next point says, now this same determined, unrelenting, praying Jesus stands at the right hand of the Father and ever lives to make intercession for us as our high priest. Amen. I mean, just unrelenting Jesus standing there. And this is why we pray, so that he will intercede for us, so that the world will change. This is why we pray. Verse 23, I'm going to read from Hebrews 7, and then we'll end for the day. And it says, and also there were many priests, but because they were prevented by death from continuing, but he, because he continues forever, has an unchangeable priesthood. Therefore, he is also able to save to the uttermost those who come to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. You know, the other priests, they lived and they died. You know, they were human. But Jesus is the priest that goes on and on forever, ever living to make intercession for us, the go-between between us and God, Jesus Christ. There's no other way. You know, I don't know how people can think there's other ways to heaven, other ways to God. I mean, God, I mean, he's looking at his son. If you're going to try and bypass his son, what an insult. What an insult after all his son did. And you're going to say, I can just bypass and go to God. And, oh, you've been lied to. You have been lied to. He is the intercessor. He is the high priest that makes intercession for us. Verse 26 says, for such a high priest was fitting for us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and has become higher than the heavens, who does not need daily, as those high priests, to offer up sacrifices for his own sins and then for the people's. For this he did once for all, then he offered up himself. Wow. Because I don't have to offer up a sacrifice. Those priests of old, they had to offer up sacrifices for themselves first before they could even help the people. They had to deal with their own issues, but not Jesus. I offered up myself once for all of you. And that's all he has to do. 28 says, for the law appoints as high priests men who have weaknesses, but the word of the oath, which came from the law, appoints a son who has been perfected forever. And that's Hebrews 7, 23 through 28. And we'll stop right there, even though we have one more section to go. But we'll stop right there for today. Any comments or questions on the lesson, Rose?
Get y'all up.
You know, I think that, I mean, everybody kind of experience hardships and, you know, suffering and stuff like that. But we have to pray. I know we pray all the time, but we have to pray in faith all the time.
Yes.
Because he is real. I mean, he's real in my life.
Yes.
Because, you know, as I said, prayer always, you know, get answer.
Yeah.
And when you have faith in him.
Yes.
That's right.
You know,
yes.
And I think Jesus is just wonderful.
He's wonderful.
And, you know, as you said, he's the mediator to the Father. And
yes.
No one else can come to the Father by him.
Yeah.
But sometimes people always think that, you know, well, we have a different way or a different vehicle to go to heaven or whatever. That's why I hear from other people. I said, no, you are deceived, you know. You gotta read the word,
yes.
You know, and he's the only one, the mediator to the Father. So prayer is very important.
Yes.
Because, you know, he's been so good to us, and he's been like, you know, you experience like hardship and stuff, but when you keep your faith in him.
Yeah.
He's always there.
Yes. You know? He is always there. And I you know, that's why I love what we're doing, this lesson, and the fact that we've been on prayer, you know, because so many people get disappointed in prayer because they don't understand what prayer is all about.
They think
it's just a request place,
right,
that Jesus is Santa Claus and I'm supposed to just come to you and you're supposed to give me what I want, but you don't understand all the aspects of prayer.
But sometimes people pray and it didn't get answered, and then they turn to the world and say, he's not real, you know. And some people turn to the world, they become atheists and stuff like that.
Yeah.
You know, and they say, well, they never answered, you know, he's never answered my prayer.
Yeah.
You know, but they
fail to understand the whole, that's what this is, the whole counsel of God.
Yeah.
Because I think, you know, we have been taught, you know, just pray and God will just prayer and prayer. People don't teach the whole counsel of God when it comes to prayer. Mm-hmm. And again, this horizontal relationship piece, was that in place?
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes I believe God answers all prayers. Sometimes the answer is no.
Yes, sometimes.
You know, prayer is not to rescue you all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes prayer is to see you through.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Prayer will always strengthen you, but prayer is not going to rescue you all the time. And the Father knows why. And the oh my goodness, and it's so hard when you know you hear children, people say, well, I was a child and this was happening and I prayed, and you know, I believe God was right there. You know, God was right there. There's a reason, you know, that you went through that even as a child. You know, in our hearts and our minds, oh my God, why wouldn't God answer the child's prayer? God had a plan. And trust me, God loves that child more than you could ever love that child. You know, and he knows everything. He knows why. You know, but again, the whole counsel of God when it comes to prayer. Yes, prayer is powerful and prayer works. You know, and I hate to even use the word prayer works. Prayer is so much more than something that you want to work. Prayer is relationship. Prayer is, you know, intimacy. It's perseverance. It's endurance. Prayer is something. It is a privilege. Prayer is evoking the audience of the Almighty. You got to know what the prayer is. You know, you can't just use prayer as some kind of sugar daddy.
No.
We got to know what prayer is all about to understand how prayers are answered.
I've had some family members say, well, you know, you prayed this and you prayed that, and yet he died. And I said, he didn't promise us life eternal. You know?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I said, but did he promise that he would walk us through and never leave us?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
And it's hard to make people understand that God isn't always going to answer what you're praying for. It's his will.
It's his will. And people don't like to hear that. They don't like to hear. But I'm like, it belongs to God. That person is God's. They were never yours.
That's right.
He let you borrow them for a few years, you know, and they're his child. And if I want to take my child and take them home, then I'm going to do that because I know what's best for my child, you know, and that's what we got to get, you know. And yes, people don't get that and understand. And I hope as we do the teaching that we can tell them, this is why, you know, and that's why I said I've learned to pray, you know, as I've learned and grew in God, I've learned to pray, thy will be done. When I pray over people, I say, Lord, thy will be done. That's my first thought. Thy will be done.
I went to a memorial service.
I'm going
to
get you.
My nephews.
We can't hear, guys. We can't hear.
I went to a memorial service for this kid, nephew, and they found him dead in Texas, and we believe it was suicide. But the daughter and the brothers were just at each other, you know, and I was praying with them, and that's one of them that told me, you know, this prayer, it's no good. Look where he's at. And, you know, it was hard to minister to them because they're in darkness. They don't know.
And
I said, you have to have a relationship with the Lord. It's not always about, he's not Santa Claus. He's not going to give us everything we ask for.
Mm-hmm.
But it was, it just broke my heart to see him going through that.
Yeah. And all you can do, Rose, is pray for them.
Yes, mm-hmm.
Pray that, you know, the darkness and the blinders come off the eyes so that they can see. You know, because yes, the enemy wants to keep them blind.
Oh, yeah.
And that's why they're spewing things out of their mouth, but they're blind.
Yeah.
You know?
Exactly.
You know, like the sky is purple. The sky is purple. But you can't see the sky.
Yeah.
So how can you talk about the sky? You know, so again, we pray that the blinders come off so that they can see. You know, I know it's wounding, it hurts us, but we pray, folks, again, we pray we are the ones that are going to see past that and pray, Lord, take the blinders off so that they can see, you know, what's going on. Let me get her, and I'm going to come back and get you, Joanne.
I just had a question about the Lord's Prayer, you know, where it says, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.
Yeah.
Is it significant that the Pope is changing that to let us not fall into temptation? And he said the reason he's changing it is because he doesn't want people to believe that God would lead us into temptation.
And to my understanding, nobody can change the word of God.
Right.
So, I mean, many people have tried, you know. So nobody can change the word of God. And I think we hold to the word of God. And the Holy Spirit will always bring true revelation of the word of God. You know, many have tried to change the word of God. But I believe with all my heart, you know, that the Holy Spirit will always bring the truth of the revelation out there. Truth, the revelation of the word of God, you know. So, but we pray. We put prayer on that because there are many people that would follow, you know, someone changing the word of God. But you can't change the word of God, because if you can change that, you can change other things. You can change other things. You know, so you got to be careful about anybody that would say they're going to change the word of God. You know, so you got to be very, very careful about that. You know, so. She was saying that the Pope was going to change a part of the Lord's Prayer from lead us not into temptation to
let us not fall into temptation.
Let us not fall into temptation. And I think it sounds like it's saying the same thing. Lead us not into temptation. Let us. But, you know, I understand what you're saying. You just, when someone is saying, I'm going to change the word of God, because I've heard people say that.
Going to take away.
Yeah, how they're going to change stuff. And we choose not to say it this way. We choose to say, I've heard people say that, say it this way. I'm like, well, you know, you can't change the word of God.
Mm-hmm. There is a warning in Revelation.
Yes, that anybody changes one jot or tittle of this word. Yes, yes. Don't take or add anything to this word. So, yeah, something that we pray about, but be careful.
You need to pray about the Pope. That's
yeah.
What it is.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Joanne?
Wait, well, so I don't know if we have time
or
not.
Go ahead.
Well,
go ahead.
I was just going to share about my son. I can't. When, you know, when we're at our weakest point, during that time that he had the hemorrhagic stroke, mm-hmm. we knew how severe and bad it was.
Mm-hmm.
And we had to... I had to make the decision to disconnect all the life support.
Mm-hmm.
But during that time, I was so strong in the Lord. I could feel feel the Holy Spirit just giving me. I was walking with a walker, but I felt like I was a giant.
Wow!
And just that feeling that the Holy Spirit was able to give me the strength to make that decision, because everybody was falling apart and acting stupid and crazy. And so we finally had to bring some order into that room and say, you know, we're not gonna let him live as a vegetable, as just, you know, he'll have to have a trach, he'll have to have a feeding tube. And so we had to decide to take him off of life support.
Yeah.
But during that time, I think that was my strongest time.
Yes.
And I said, the Holy Spirit just, I felt big, I felt huge physically.
Yeah. Wow.
And, you know, the other thing was, yes, I remembered that how painful it was for God to see his son on the cross, mm-hmm. that he had to turn his face from him. So, you know, what makes me think that my son could be above anything that Jesus did for us to make the way for my son to go to heaven?
Yes.
And we've gotten so many testimonies since my son's passing of people that have ministered. He ministered to them. He was a youth pastor. He got hurt in the church, and he he eventually left the mm-hmm. ministry and did other things, but he never left the ministry mm-hmm. because even after he passed away, people were coming to the dealership where he was uh-huh. a finance manager uh-huh. looking for him. And one of the men there said, well, you don't, they said, Sam's not here. And the man says, well, where did he go? Well, he passed away. Oh, you don't have to worry about him. He was a man of God. He's with the Lord. Wow. He ministered to us. We accepted Christ. This young man brought us to the Lord.
Wow. And you didn't even know that.
No. No. Yes. I got letters. Wow. I got letters from young people in California telling me how he ministered to them. And this was probably 15 years ago. Robert Goudelet with Pastor Mark, he said, mm-hmm. and this is his expression, my phone was blowing up from the kids in California that were wow. calling about Sam and wow. how he ministered to him. So, you know, when we think that it's the end, and I know that I'll see my son again, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. but I miss him, mm-hmm. and it's painful.
Yes.
You were talking
yes.
about, you know, your yes. heart being so broken mm-hmm. that all you can do is lay on the floor and wail.
Yeah.
You can't even find the words.
Yeah.
But that's okay to get to that yeah. point, because yeah. then you get past that.
Yeah. Yeah.
You get past that. Mm-hmm. But God understands it
yes.
all.
Yes, he does.
He understands it all.
He does. Oh, wow.
So, you know, it's a journey.
It's a journey, yes. So it's a
journey full of highs and lows and ups and downs, but I'm telling you, strengthen through
it
all.
That's it.
Through it all.
Through it all. Learn to trust in Jesus.
Yes.
Learn to trust in God.
Yes.
You know, we do. Thank you for sharing that, Jimmy.
Yes.
That was really beautiful and powerful. And I believe that. I mean, I believe that. I'm like, you know.
Yes.
You know, he is God.
Yes.
And if God wants to take his son
yes.
home, he can.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
And we'll be all right. I know he knows we'll be okay. You'll
yes.
be okay.
Yes.
You know, but God does what he wills, you know. And that's what we got to understand when we're praying. That's why I'm saying I've learned to pray, thy will be done, Lord. And until I know your will, I don't know what to pray except thy will be done. Thy kingdom come into the situation, you know, and I submit to whatever it is. I submit, Lord God, and I keep praying, even if it means my heart may be broken on the other side of that. You know, I trust you,
yes.
even with my heart.
Just a few weeks before that, I called him and I said, son, I said, if Jesus were to come today, I said, would you be ready? And he said, of course, absolutely. And I said, okay, so that's all I need to know.
Yeah.
And I would call him periodically and ask him that. Because
yeah.
he wasn't married. He didn't
yeah.
have children.
Yeah.
That he was just
yeah.
working,
yeah.
working.
Yeah. Praise God. Praise
but
God.
He never left the ministry.
Praise Amen. God. Yeah. Most of it's out there anyways.
Yeah.
yeah. So, folks, we'll go ahead and pray. Lord, we just thank you, Lord, for the lesson. We thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your Holy Spirit, Lord God. We thank you for the visitation of your Holy Spirit this morning. I just believe you're in the room right now, Lord God. We sense your presence and we thank you, Lord God. Oh, Lord, that we would be honored by your presence, Lord, to move in us, to walk in us, to teach us, oh, Lord God, to give us revelation in your word, Lord God. Oh, Father, I thank you for the testimonies, Lord God.
Yes,
oh, Lord,
sir.
As your people talk
yes.
about your goodness,
yes.
they talk about, Lord,
yes.
what you have done, Lord
yes.
God.
Yes.
And it strengthens the rest
yes.
of us, Lord
yes.
God,
yes.
to know that you are faithful
yes.
to that promise, Lord God. So, Father, we just thank you. We pray that we will press on, Lord God, through the hard times, through the trial, through the tragedy, Lord God, that we would press on in prayer. Oh, Lord, that we would not give up, Lord God, that we would continue, that we would be, oh, God, that we would be like you, Jesus, as you pressed on through the cross, through the trial. Oh, Lord, you pressed on. Oh, Lord, and now you stand to make intercession for us. Oh, Lord, before the Father. So we thank you, Lord God. We don't take it for granted. Oh, God, we thank you. We praise you. We magnify your name.
And again, Lord, we say, thy kingdom come and thy will be done. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.